Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And exactly. We are now experiencing con crud. What does that mean? It means
when you rub elbows with 180,000 people, you're going away with a door prize.
Yes, John and I just got back from New York Comic Con, and boy, our arms tired.
My arm's tired from glad handing and begging for interviews and getting pushed around, and oh my gosh.
Yes. So, it was a lot of fun. It was busy. I will say that this is John's shining moment because
it is not a shining moment.
Because he went and got 14 interviews for us.
Wait, is that the ones that you have a list for? Because there's one not on the list.
Oh, he got 15 interviews for us. And
it's evenly divisible by 5. My OCD is happy.
And not only that, there was a lot of great and interesting news that came out of the convention this year as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. And we're going to give you the interviews. We're not going to give you them all in this episode because I'm sure you guys have better things to do than listen to us for 3 hours straight.
Actually, they wouldn't be listening to us for 3 hours
straight.
Oh,
that's true. They'd be listening.
But we're going to space them out.
Let's get into some news. Oh, of course, Ben is off this week, if you haven't noticed yet.
He's getting a new job. He does have an excuse.
Yeah. He's off in San Francisco while we were in New York, and he isn't back yet.
Because this job just doesn't pay enough. We actually have to have, day jobs in order to be able to, do things like eat, have clothing.
We're making all that
shelter.
We're making all that great podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm tired of buying Monopoly game sets so that I can get more of that.
So the first thing that came out, Bleeding Cool had reported on this. This year, New York Comic Con broke their record. And as John alluded to already, they had over 180,000 attendees.
So I'm going to borrow somebody else's joke and say, I hope somebody gets that phone.
Anyway. I don't get the joke. I don't get the reference.
Because I called it, damn it.
You did.
180,000. I called it. I said right off the bat, yes, I knew that. I looked at the trend and I figured we'd do about 180,000 this year. God, I sound like a 2-pack-a-day smoker.
Yes. I wonder how. Wait, you know what? I did not check.
Was that?
How many people were at San Diego this year?
Oh, probably. I don't know. Does New York probably does more than San Diego?
You would think that, right?
Yeah, but who knows? So let's see. What do we got? What else do we have here? We have Evangeline Lilly, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Defenders, Power Rangers. What do you want to begin with? Besides the fact that there were just 180,000 people there, and I probably have every sickness that they brought with them.
Well, actually, what I wanted to also point out, we heard from some of the locals that the convention has gotten so big, they're actually expanding the Jacob Javits Center where they hold the New York Comic Con.
Those are the rumors that they're going to knock down the building that Artist Alley is in and build a larger one.
Yes. So anyone who...
Rumors that we could not confirm because we did not have official press passes and they would not talk to us. But we're hoping that the bugs we placed in their office will pay off in a few days.
Yes. Wait, what?
I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that near you for plausible deniability. Shoot. Stupid John.
I don't know. So it's exciting. San Diego has been the number one convention for a long time, but New York is growing more and more. And, hopefully, eventually, New York will be the one where the studios make all their big announcements.
I will say this. If they're going to knock down the building and build a much nicer, larger building for the, you know, for Artist Alley and whatever additional venues they can get out of it, they're going to need another entrance and exit to the place, because just getting people into the building in a timely manner is almost impossible. And I have video for this that we'll post, which I'm going to put music to, because it is just hysterical how long the line is and how fast and far I had to walk to get to the end of it. And that was going early.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I can attest to this, boys and girls. John is a morning person. She was up at the crack on every day to get in that line.
And you were up at the crack of 10:30.
No. You can't tell people that. The show opened at 10. I had to be there at 9. So.
Yes, I didn't see you were awake when you got to the show.
Oh, well, no, that's true.
Only after your first cup of coffee.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm no good without my first cup of coffee. So, yeah. But there was some news, even though it's not as much as San Diego normally gets. One of the things that was kind of cool that came out of the convention on the Marvel side of things is Evangeline Lilly.
Boy, there you go with the name murdering again. I love it.
She was there, and of course, she was being interviewed, and she confirmed that we will see the Wasp in Avengers 4.
Yeah, it's because Marvel got spooked about Wonder Woman.
You think so?
So, it takes this long to finally get a superhero movie with a female cast lead, and now, like, so DC comes out with one, says, "Oh, we've got Wonder Woman," and Marvel's like, "No, we're doubling down, dude. Now we get two."
Well, wait,
and one on Netflix, so they're up by two now.
You're doing the same thing the toy makers do. You're forgetting about Scarlet Witch.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson or Black Widow.
Yeah, but they haven't made a Black Widow movie. They're doing Wonder Woman. They're doing was it Marvel? And we have this.
Right, they have Jessica Jones and then Miss Marvel, and then they said the Wasp is going to be the Wasp's origin story. Ant-Man.
Right. So the score. Yeah, so the score is 3-1, Marvel ahead. There you go.
Well, here's the thing. But again, they also have Scarlet Witch and Black Widow as supporting characters and supporting heroes, and DC doesn't even have that right. They have DC's Wonder Woman.
But DC's got Ben Affleck.
So?
He almost counts as a woman.
I keep wondering, because they have Zatanna, they have...
They have so many they could pick from, but I guess there's a logistics problem with the number of movies they can get out,
right?
And they're DC, so they're going to screw this.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I wish they would up their game. You know, it's like, yay, okay, you're gonna get Wonder Woman, and you're making such a deal about it, but Marvel's like, okay, you've got Wonder Woman, we've got five. Yeah.
Well, there is the point where if DC plays Wonder Woman right, she can still kick the ass of all those other characters.
I don't know. Be close with.
Oh no! If they play it like the Bruce Timm version, she will be, her hand to hand combat will be unfreaking believable.
You don't mess with Miss Marvel.
He'll be Jet Li, Bruce Lee, and somebody else.
Someone else named Lee.
And Hitmonlee or whatever, one of the Pokemon.
And Lili.
I have no idea.
I don't either. I just made it up.
You just went one too far. You're supposed to stop. I usually don't. I usually go a few feet past where I should, and then you just went right over the cliff.
Yes, you're right. I need help.
So Evangeline Lilly, yay!
Speaking of female heroes, they have even one more. They have Quake, or better known as Sky or Daisy.
Yeah, but she's not the lead
on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you know what was the other cool thing? Her, Clark Gregg, and the guy playing Ghost Rider all dressed up in costume and walked around on the floor at New York Comic Con. See, it was called a segue.
I'm kind of upset about that because I didn't catch them. Although, considering how big the venue is and how much I walked around, they were probably always on the opposite side of the place.
Yeah.
Because I took a picture of every cosplayer that I passed, almost literally, and I did not see anybody in costumes like that.
Right, right. What was it? Clark Gregg was dressed up as Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Who was
Yeah, I would have remembered Ghost Rider because I didn't see any Ghost Riders.
Yeah,
I saw
that's
a few
true.
People with that jacket, but they didn't have a good mask or anything. It was easy to see the person underneath. But Chloe Bennett,
it was Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see a Rocket Raccoon like that.
And
there was a giant Groot and a Wookiee, but I didn't see anybody like her.
And and that's right. And then Luna, I can't think of the guy who's playing Ghost Rider, was Star Lord.
Yeah.
So
now I did see a few Star Lords, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see him.
Right, right. Either. And essentially, it was funny what they were doing is they were going around asking people if they watched the Marvel TV shows and what their favorite shows were, and you know, asking them, well, do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And some people were like, well, I watched the first season and then I dropped off. And then, you know, they'd be like, well, wait, you know, what if we could get Clark Gregg here to convince you, you know, and then he would take his mask off.
Yeah, oh, God. So I definitely didn't run across him. You know what would be really funny, though? I'm sure if I watch the video they have on there, like in almost every scene, you're going to be seeing me walking by oblivious in the background, you know?
Yes. I'm sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. When you look at the video, it looks like they were around the main entrance and then near the Marvel booth.
Yeah, I hung out a lot more on the side with Rooster Teeth and Funimation. I was more on the anime side. I was either there or was in Artist Alley.
Yeah. Anime. Anyway. What has that animation ever done for us?
Yeah. Hey.
So hey, nice. I do think that's one of the cool things about these conventions is that the celebrities now do stuff like that, you know, dress up and go about the crowd. I know that I don't remember what he was dressed as, but apparently Adam Savage from Mythbusters was there and he had a costume again.
Yeah.
He does a thing now where they'll post things on their social media about it, and the person, if somebody figures out it's him, they win up some kind of prize. So,
well, you know, it's going to make me paranoid because, you know, the next time I'm just going to go walking around and go, oh, can you stop for a picture? Okay, thank you. Hold on, let me grab this mask.
Well, I don't think
just ripping masks off left and right. Oh, okay, you're not famous. I said, can I take your picture, please?
Exactly. That won't work too well.
But anyway, yeah, this is good. This is good. What else? What other news we got? That's the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Defenders cast.
Yes, there was an Iron Fist panel where they also debuted the trailer. For those who haven't seen it yet, of course, we'll have a link for that in the description. Did you watch the trailer for it yet? Hello? Did I?
Yeah.
Did I lose you again? I said, did you watch?
Yeah. It was weird. Okay,
did you watch the trailer for it yet?
No, I did not. I want to be surprised.
No, you don't. It looks good.
No, I don't.
It looks good. It was, they definitely did the effect on his hand where his hand was glowing when he was punching something, you know, so it's not just he's going to be, have really strong punches. It's, you know, they are definitely going down the road that it's something mystic. Which was cool. I'm glad they're keeping that aspect of it. They're not trying to keep it in the science realm or keep it grounded, you know, like he's got some kind of mystic power. The mantle of the
Iron Fist. Yeah. The glow around his fist, you know, like Last Dragon. Or am I the only one that knows that reference?
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Last Dragon?
Is that The Last Dragon was a Bruce Lee movie, right?
No.
Oh, no, that's Enter the Dragon.
No, it was Bruce Leroy.
Oh, I'm thinking Enter the Dragon. What was The Last Dragon?
Oh, you'd have to go see his cheesy 80s karate movie, but the whole thing was he had to get the glow, and, you know, he'd get his fist to glow, but he was trying to get his fist to glow because that was the last part of his training to become a master. And there was one of my pictures, there was a guy there dressed up as Shona, who was the bad guy for that movie.
Okay.
And the guy was so happy when I walked over. I looked at him. I said, "Jonah," and he's like, "Oh yeah, Jonah." He's like, "Yeah, somebody recognized me. Yay!"
That's cool.
And I looked at him. I said, "I'm old. Of course, I recognized you."
Oh man! Speaking of cosplaying, so I think it was Friday. I was there in Artist Alley, and there were Luigis walking around.
Oh yeah, I heard about that, but I didn't get to see that too. I saw the roaming bands of Deadpools.
There was a gaggle of Luigis, and it was funny because there was a video posted online. Again, we'll put the link to this in the description of this episode because people ask me all the time, "Why do you like Comic-Con? Why do you go to Comic-Con?" And this was a moment that could only happen at Comic-Con.
Or an insane asylum. One of those two.
Yes, yes. But, oh my God. Bob Camp. Who we had on the show, who's one of the co-creators of Stimpy.
Who's the one who came up with Happy, Happy, Joy, yes. Joy.
He was there in Artist Alley, and all the Luigis came up, and together on video, they all sang Log.
Everybody loves the Log.
Yeah. That can only happen at Comic-Con. That doesn't happen on the street. There's not a group of Luigis walking down the street who stop Bob Camp and then have a sing-along with him and sing Log. No. That doesn't even happen in Hollywood or anywhere like that. It only happens at Comic-Con.
Yep. So that's good.
So anyway, back to Iron Fist. So yeah, they debuted the trailer, and of course, they had a Q&A with the cast, and then they brought out the cast of the Defenders afterwards.
That one I didn't see. I have the cast of Iron Fist on tape, I believe.
Cool.
But I don't have the Defenders. That one I can't wait to see that.
It should be good. I haven't finished watching Luke Cage yet, so don't ruin it for me. But of course, it was Charlie Cox, Kristen Ritter, Mike Coulter, and of course, Finn Jones, who is playing Iron Fist, all together on scene for the first time. Are you excited, Gleason Grove?
Well, I'm excited, or about as excited as a deathbed person is.
Well, and you know who's playing the baddie in The Defenders? I didn't say who she's playing that. Ooh, I gave it away.
I don't get it.
The big baddie for The Defenders is going to be played by Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, so we're going to have Xenomorphs in this. That should be awesome.
Why are we going to have Xenomorphs?
Marvel versus Geiger. I can't wait. You heard it here, folks. Here first, folks. That's it, right here. My God, my nasal passages are stuffed up. I can't talk. It should be good. It should be a hell of a lot of fun. Sigourney Weaver is awesome, especially when she's playing a baddie. She's still scary.
Yes.
She'll be scary when she's 110.
Wait, isn't she? Oh, no.
Don't. No. No. No bad host. Bad host.
What?
What's next? Yeah. What do we got else? Power Rangers trailer debuts. Well, there will that happen. Next.
Why are you rushing us through this episode, John? This isn't how this show works.
I've got a ball of NyQuil with my name on it.
Okay, so yes. Oh, my God. Yes, the Power Rangers trailer debuted at New York Comic Con. Did you see that yet?
Yes, I did.
So did you ever watch Power Rangers before? Did you see the original movies, the Mighty Morphin movies?
I am sad to say that those are indelibly inked into my memory. So, I did.
So,
and I thought this one was going to be, serious, but it looks like it's going to be in the same vein as the others.
It felt like it was a mixture of both. Like, they're trying to make it a little more serious and grounded, but it's still, you know, the Power Rangers.
Yeah, you can't be very grounded with Megazords and, you know, and teenagers with attitude.
I mean, it's I don't know. I was never a fan of it. My son obviously watched Power Rangers. But I don't know. It just didn't feel right. The preview just did not feel right. It did not feel like, you know, fun.
Well, it might be that the earlier movies and the entire purpose of the series is to be campy because it originated by taking clips from a series in Japan and just, you know, voicing over them, and then hiring a few actors to, you know, splice together some film between the actual fight scenes and act as if they were the Power Rangers. So it was Saban Entertainment. It felt like somebody's backyard experiment. The more Americanized it gets, the farther it gets from its roots, and the farther it gets from its roots, the more off it feels.
Exactly.
Except unless you go full bore, there was that one clip on YouTube. It was a fan-made Power Rangers kind of short movie.
That was,
and boy, was that thing dark as hell. Yeah,
really dark.
I mean, I was expecting Alien to come out of that one and just like slay half of the cast right there. I mean, people getting slaughtered left and right in the most horrible ways and horrible scenarios possible.
Yeah,
that's a Power Rangers movie I'd see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And it's like, when I look at it, and again, it looks nothing like the TV show at all. It's like, well, then why even call it Power Rangers? Why not just make your own thing that's like Power Rangers, but call it something else, you know?
Well, probably because they're still using clips for Japan to keep the cost down.
I don't think so, really.
It's Saban.
No. I really don't think they're doing that. It looks like it was.
Well, it's either that or it's this is our first Godzilla attempt at Power Rangers.
Yeah.
You know, our first attempt at making a Godzilla movie didn't go too well. In fact, it went so badly that the very next Godzilla movie made from Toho Productions, I think that's all, they actually created another monster that looked like our Godzilla, so the real Godzilla could beat up on him and kill him. So maybe we'll get to a point where, you know, the next Power Rangers movie will come directly from, you know, Japan or whatever, and they'll beat up this cast or something, make fun of it somehow. Right. I don't know.
We can only hope, right?
Yep.
Cool. And, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I haven't even talked to my son yet if he saw the preview or not. My God! This isn't, race. Everyone has already turned their computers off because of you.
No, they're not. Nope.
All right. So, actually, some comic book news came out of New York Comic Con. And we've been monopolizing all of our talk with Marvel, so here's a little DC. They talked about the future of Rebirth. And, you know, some of the characters, like Harley Quinn, and her story arc is called Undercover Punker. And is apparently the kind of like a movie, kind of like the movie Point Break. Hopefully the original one, I like that. Where Harley's going undercover in the Brooklyn punk scene. Yeah, okay.
Well, for the most part, she'll blend, except for the trail of bodies behind her.
Well, that's true.
I don't know about that. No, but we'll see. Basically, at Comic-Con, maybe I'd say like 5 to 10% of the cosplays were of either Harley Quinn or some variant of her.
Oh yeah. So we'll see.
The Harley Quinn Thor was right out though. That just didn't work at all.
Green Arrow. Of course, according to Ben Percy, they're bringing back some classic elements like his goatee and Black Canary.
Yeah.
They also want to bring back the teacher-student relationship with that. And they would also want to bring back the boxing.
Oh, boy. So, there's some things that could stay in the past. And we've talked about this before. If they would just let things age out, I would like to see the storyline over a period of years of the student-teacher relationship goes to the love relationship, goes to the married relationship. You know, I know they keep playing on the star-crossed lovers thing that's supposed to keep people interested, and for the most part, it does work on the general populace, but even that can get old if the two characters never get together.
Right.
It gets grating.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's also the same thing, kind of the same thing over at Marvel with, like, Peter and Mary Jane, you know, where they were married for a long time and then they ended the relationship and then they have them meet again and be star-crossed lovers. They're together and then they're not together, then they're together. they're not together.
Then they're clones. Then they're not clones. Then they're, you know, from different universes. Then from different multiverses.
And then one Mary Jane has the powers and Peter doesn't.
Then they're dead. Then they're not dead. Then they're dead again. Then they're not dead again.
Yeah, and then one Mary Jane dies from radioactive sperm. It's exactly.
Okay, I didn't know
about that. Oh, yeah.
Anywho.
Do you have a problem with radioactive sperm?
Let's continue on.
You don't want to talk about radioactive sperm. Is that what I understand?
So, Teen Titans. Let's see what we got here. Teen Titans. The first arc is with Damian Wayne, that little tyrant. Yes, I'm reading from a source, news source.
Yes. Which I found that interesting. I find that interesting. I haven't been keeping up on the Rebirth books, and I've, you know, never really read Teen Titans anyway. I did not realize they brought Damian back from the dead with Rebirth, because, you know, they brought Damian in, they killed him off in the New 52, and then, you know, all of a sudden he's back again. I don't know. I'm not really, like the character is interesting and he does kind of grow on you, but I'm not also, like, again, when we're in a media where people don't want to age these characters, giving someone a son who is, you know, a prepubescent pain in the butt, you're aging Batman a lot with that. You know, more so than him being married, you know, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you like the idea of him having a kid? Or?
Yeah, I like the idea of having a kid. I just wish that they'd let him show his age. Yeah, they can't. At some point, they might age. They either keep Damian Wayne at the age he's at, which means that he's going to be a spoiled little deadly brat
forever.
For the next 50 years. Or basically Batman just... Batman will be too old to have had a son.
Right.
If they let Damian Wayne
exactly age. if he grows up like Dick did, then it's going to be like, okay, well then now he's got to be in his 50s. He's too old to be fighting. Yeah. So we'll see. Bonus info: there's a secret sixth member of the Teen Titans coming. Whoever could. I'm saying Cyborg's coming back to the.
I'm saying Terra. Well, it's because I actually saw two Terras at the convention. I took a picture of one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's one? Not both?
Dude, the amount of running around I did is hard to get pictures of some of them. A lot of my photos are drive-by photography. Uh-huh. They're sitting there, they're sitting for a picture for somebody else, and I just walk by with the camera held over everybody's heads and then kept walking. And most of the time that was because I couldn't stop walking because there were a lot of people there. And if you tried to stop in the middle of a flow, you got trampled.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hence why they're expanding the, Wonder Woman. So, one of the things that stands out to me that they mentioned is, Greg Rucka admitted that in 75 years of Wonder Woman, there have been missteps.
Yeah, like when you tie her hands together, she becomes powerless. Bondage.
Oh, no. But no, that's not. That's all part of the character. She was created as a bondage fantasy. I mean, that's.
Oh, I know.
That's neither here nor there. You know, it's when you when they tried to put her in a tracksuit.
Oh, you're talking about the original Wonder Woman movie that was supposed to start a series before Linda Carter assumed the role.
No, in the 90s, she had like this white tracksuit for a while. That was just like, what is this? You know, and then they gave her that weird armor for a while. And, you know, of course, they've killed people.
Well, they got to sell toys.
They've killed people off. They've brought people back. So we shall see. They're saying they're also going to be doing a parallel story with Cheetah before she's Cheetah. An important role for Barbara Ann, who will have to adjust to realizing that gods are real.
Oh, good. Gotham for Wonder Woman. Hooray!
Cheetah should be to Diana what Two-Face is to Batman. So we shall see where they go with that. And in brightest day, in darkest night, no evil shall Gotham escape my sight. Prepare my power. Beware my might.
Lantern Green Lantern's light. Oh my god, do you know how to say that? Alright. Onward.
Rob Vedenti is, there's going to be more lanterns have aspects of of his own friends, but one of the Lanterns, Guy, was most surprising to me. Guy Gardner, people, he's back. He's worse than ever.
Good. He'll shake things up a bit. It should make things interesting and fun again.
Issue 8 will focus on Jon Stewart. So that's one of the things I find interesting about Green Lantern at this point is there have been so many. You want to talk about missteps with a character. You know, I mean, you've got Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart, Guy Gardner, and there's two more.
Al Rayner.
And there is one more, and I can't think of who it is.
I can't remember that one either. Am I missing something? Oh my God, DC Man is falling down.
Yes.
I don't know. Keep continuing.
You know, and of course, then everything becomes Green Lantern Corps. It'd be a dead person.
Which they all were at one point or another.
That is true. Because in the Blackest Night storyline. And it's kind of like, you know, like one of the reasons people said the Green Lantern movie didn't work is there was a generation of kids grew up watching the Justice League cartoon and Jon Stewart was their Green Lantern, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. He was portrayed pretty damn well in that one.
So the question is, why didn't they go with Jon Stewart? And the argument is, well, you can't get to Jon Stewart without Hal
going
through them. But it's like, why not? You know, I don't know. We shall see. We'll see. I mean, again, issue 8 will focus on Jon Stewart. We'll see what that's like when it comes out. Barry Allen as a teacher added that what was missing was family. So Barry wants justice. Godspeed wants revenge. That's your setup for the Flash, ladies and gentlemen. If you ask me, they should just keep, I know he's busy working on all the TV shows now, but they should have just kept Geoff Johns writing that book forever.
Probably.
Yes. Flash Rebirth is probably one of the best stories that they've ever done. Flashpoint, of course. We just got a taste of that on the TV show.
Which I have yet to watch, so don't spoil it for me, please.
You have yet to watch it? Come on, you've been home for a whole day, 2 days now.
Uh-huh, and I had to catch up with Westworld and Lucifer and set up all the interviews and the images, and I got plenty to do, man. Besides, this way I can watch all the first episodes of all of the series one at a time in a row.
But we had one of the stars of the Flash premiere on our podcast just a week ago.
Yeah, I think he'll forgive me.
Matt, if you're listening to this, don't forgive John.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of you. And then lastly, they talked about Deathstroke. Deathstroke's likability, and they discussed Deathstroke's likability and reminded everyone, he's a villain. You're not supposed to like him. I've never liked Deathstroke, so I'm not sure why people like him now.
Because he's a roguish animal.
Is he?
He's just fun because he's kind of like that bastard teacher that you had that always knew better and would smack you around. Or is that just me? Never mind. No, he was good. He was fun. He was a fun character because they played him a lot of times. They played him as this almost grandfatherly figure at times, always knowing better and always being better than the rest of the characters at what they were doing. And, you know, he used to regularly beat up just about anybody.
Okay.
There's a reason why there's a death battle between him and Deadpool.
Well, of course, because everyone claims that Deadpool is just a copy of Deathstroke. I don't see that either, but that's what a lot of people say. Because they both wear masks that fully cover their face and they both use swords.
Yeah, that makes them equal. Yeah. And they both wear red.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, what? Deathstroke wears black and orange. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Deadpool wears black and red. Okay. So that's the DC Rebirth talk. You know what? Again, I'm not really keeping up on it. If you guys are reading it, let us know. You know, tweet at us. Let us know. You know, Rebirth, thumbs up or thumbs down. You know? And then there was a piece of news came out that apparently surprised a lot of people. It surprised me, for one, is that Marvel will be doing a new animated Spider-Man cartoon on Disney XD.
So we're not continuing the Spider-Man, what is it, not Extreme?
Ultimate Spider-Man.
The Ultimate Spider-Man. I guess you're not going to continue that one?
It does not look that way. No, in fact, the images that they released related to it, the animation is a different style. Yeah, and then let's see. I don't think they even talked about how it fits in with the other animated shows where they're all connected now, you know?
So no more windsurfing Aunt May, no more suave and debonair Agent Coulson.
Exactly. Yeah, so we've been secretly nurturing Marvel Spider-Man for years now, so we are thrilled to finally announce it. The Simpsons, a back-to-basics approach, the story of an ordinary teen, Peter Parker, who suddenly finds himself with strange new powers and overwhelming responsibility. And thanks to the story editor Kevin Schnick, Robot Chicken and Mad, and supervising director Philip Pigonti, Marvel's Avengers Assemble, it's just filled with heart hammers. And Court Lane's
It's Pignotti. Or Pignotti.
Pignotti.
But anyway, yeah. Filled with hard humor. Okay. Some of the voice casts that I'm seeing here look actually pretty good. Specifically, I know Marcia Griffin from Transformers Prime, and I recognize both her attributions here, The Life and Times of Juniper Lee. She's good. Stan Lee Spider-Man? Oh, no, I'm reading that wrong. That's just in his dreams. Kevin Burke and Chris Doc Wyatt. There's a lot of talent here, I guess. So we'll see how it goes. I'm just really surprised that they're going to stop the Ultimate Spider-Man reality, because that fit in with all the rest of them. I mean, we've seen crossovers, Defenders, and Agents of Smash, and all that. Now we've lost him. Maybe he goes to the Avengers. Who knows?
Well, the Agents of Smash hasn't been on in a while, so I assume that was canceled. Don't know why.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was such a quality TV show.
Just like Teen Titans Go.
Marvel, a cartoon of a bunch of Hulk-related creatures who never transform back into their human counterparts, doesn't work. It was weird. But that also means, what's his face? The guy who plays Spider-Man now, he's out of a job.
Yeah.
Again.
I don't know who the voice actor is that's doing that. I haven't really looked into that one.
He used to be on a Nickelodeon show as a singer. I don't know. Anyway. It was shocking. They said they've been working on it secret for years, and it'll be in 2017 it debuts, and Ultimate Spider-Man will end in a two-part special in January of 2017.
Where he gets killed and then gives birth to himself, which becomes the new Peter Parker.
Okay. Yeah.
Continuity.
Please disregard those comments, ladies and gentlemen. I know what's wrong with my goat. I'd be drinking again.
Not enough. Okay.
So that's all the that was all the news that I saw fit to print coming out of the show. DC didn't have any kind of big shocking news about any of their movies. I think everything that they talked about, everything with their stuff is been in the news. We talked about interviews at the beginning of this, right?
Yep, we've got two queued up.
And, right, we're going to end this episode with two quick interviews here that we did. And look for more to come after this. The first one, John was told you that he waited in really long lines to get into the convention center.
He
got bored and he interviewed somebody in line with him. His name was Daniel, is that correct?
Yes, and he was also bored.
So here is an interview.
So here, you can see this, you'll never find it. Go ahead.
So here is a conversation between two people waiting in line to get into New York Comic Con. Enjoy.
This is John O'Grady for Super Speak, and I'm talking to
Damien.
Okay, cool. So how many of these have you been to so far?
Off the top of my head, I'm gonna say probably six.
Six. Yeah. And so I just spent maybe an hour trying to find the end of the line. I actually saw somebody back there who left in half an hour before me, and they're about four blocks that way. Is this like normal? I mean,
This is actually really normal, surprisingly. Every year I've come where I didn't come super early, it pretty much wraps around the entire building for a few blocks, and it takes a while to get up there.
And what time do they start letting you in, do you say?
To my understanding, I believe the con opens at 10:30, so I think they let you in at 10, and you wait in a hall. And then they're there for a good half hour, and they start letting people through different like lines. I don't know how it is this year, but that's how it was last year.
So what are you here to see? What are you looking for this year?
This year, overall, I'm a big pop collector, Funko Pop figures, and I'm here to grab a lot of the exclusives if I get the chance to. And then, of course, a lot of different panels I want to see as well, stuff on different shows, anime shows, video games, if they have any, things like that.
Any specific panels? Or?
Today, for sure, I want to see a Tomb Raider panel they're having to celebrate the anniversary of Tomb Raider. And they're also going to be premiering the new Batman animated movie with Adam West. So, like, I'm really excited to see that. That's going to be really cool.
Nice. I guess Tomb Raider because you used to do the video game thing.
Yes, I used to have a video game website that me and a friend ran, and I love the original Tomb Raider games. I love the newer one they did. So the fact that they're doing a whole anniversary thing for it is really cool, and I'm excited to see what they're showing.
Very good. So what did you think of the ticket buying process this year?
It was definitely a lot smoother than last year. I do like the whole thing with the fan verification accounts. I think that's very, very a good way to stop, you know, scalping. And again, it definitely felt smoother. I did not manage to grab a 4-day pass. Those sold out really quickly this year. But I did buy all 4 days separately, so I'll still be here. But yeah.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was, what is it? They get the notification. They started selling tickets at like noon. And then within a half an hour, you started getting the notice saying, oh, all the 3-day passes gone. All the 4-day passes are gone. And then, you know, finally, I got my one pass a day too. But so... anything else you're looking for around here, or you know, anything like that we should look for in your experience? Because this is my first New York Comic Con, so I've been to Wizard World and a few others. But I mean, what do you expect when you go in there? And we're walking. Hold on a second. There we go. So what do you expect to see, or what should people look for while they're in there?
I mean, it depends on a lot of people. A lot of people come here for comics to get those signed, meet the writers. I used to do that. That was a lot of fun, too. So that's one thing that's really cool, if you read comics, to meet the people that, you know, write the books. That. Again, a lot of the different exclusive panels are really cool. This year, especially, I know Saturday, they have the first look at the new Power Rangers movie coming out, which is super exciting. It's exclusive to New York Comic Con. I don't know if they're going to release it later, but... it's still really cool to be one of the first people to see that. That's one thing I'm really...
And now I'm going to have to see that because, me being old, yes, our viewers know I'm old, I've seen all the Power Rangers, the movies. I saw it when it first came out on the TV, and I've heard this one's going to be a little bit more serious.
I'm not too sure. The way the posters make it look, it does look a little more serious, but I can't imagine them being able to take it themselves too seriously, you know, with it being Power Rangers. And I love the show growing up too, but it's easy to admit that it is a very cheesy show. So I hope they stick to that to an extent, not too like campy, but a good mix of both to make it at least, you know, make the fans happy and then make new people watching it happy too.
Do you want to say something or? All right. So thank you very much.
No problem. Damien.
Yeah, thank you, Damien. And this is John for Superhero Speak.
Really, John? You wanted to cuddle with them? Wait, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, let's not go there. Yeah, so while I was in line, it's fun because if you get stuck with a bunch of people that are really talkative, you find out a whole bunch of stuff about things that they've heard that are going on, things that they want to do. There's just so much going on at these cons, and the programs make it hard to find out all of the cool stuff that you might want to be at. So I tried to talk to as many people as possible. Plus, you know, you get to talk to all these people that are already, you know, cosplaying and are all excited to be there. And this guy just happened to be in front of me at the time, and on my first day waiting in line, and we're all chatting.
Yes.
And so I just stuck in front of him. It's kind of like what you did to me 4 years ago.
I did kind of do that, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know... Like I got tortured by someone 4 years ago, and I've been doing it every year since. Next interview. Some might know him as Greg Horny, or that's just what I call him.
Yep, but behind his back where he can't reach you.
Oh, no, I call him face. Yes, so of course, everyone knows that at this point that I am friends with Greg, and I help him out at his table at New York Comic Con every year. And yeah, so he agreed. Oh my God, this is the second time he's been on our show. This is amazing. No. He agreed to talk to us. So here's a quick little interview with Greg Horn
at Comics.
Nice.
All right. Here we are.
Be wary of the way.
New York Comic Con 2016 with the gregarious Greg Horn.
That's me.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm also magnanimous.
Magnanimous?
And a couple other things ending in us.
All right. So this is your... What year is this for you for Comic Con, New York Comic Con?
This is 2016.
I meant the number that, how many of you have done?
I've been doing this show since it started. I believe that was 2006, but I'm a little hazy on the details. But
so this would be your 10th anniversary?
Yes.
Not surprising. Today is going to be probably the worst.
Yeah.
No, it has been, it's been a barn burner of a show, no doubt.
Saturday.
Usually the busiest days are Saturday and Sunday.
was going to say, how's this compare so far to the last few years?
I would say this is one of our better years, no doubt. The new Robin Hood comic books are helping. It's definitely driving traffic to the booth. Everybody wants to get either the color or the sketch copy.
Right, and what about people who can't make it to New York Comic Con?
Well, they're kind of SOL, aren't they?
All right.
At the moment, it looks like we may sell out, but if we don't, I may offer the excess on my Facebook.
Oh.
Just as like a private gift to Facebook fans. But I can't guarantee that because I don't know if we're going to have any left at all.
Right. You got actually a lot of new stuff this year, too, including a Harley Quinn that a lot of people are saying now looks like Miley Cyrus. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's no relation, I assure you. I just did a generic kissy face, and maybe Miley's just been throwing a lot of kisses lately.
Well, at least she's not twerking, right?
She is, look. Well, you're on the wrong side of the picture. If you go around to the other side, you'll see something very interesting.
So what have you done over the past year? Who have you worked for, and where can we see your art besides a show and your prints? I mean, have you worked on any covers or anything?
Yeah, for the past 2 years, I've been working with Marvel on a lot of their variant covers. I worked on most of the GameStop books, Amazing Spider-Man variant, number one, all the Star Wars variants. And then a lot of the conventions have been picking up on the success I've had with these books, and they will request me to do convention specials. So these are books that are only available at these shows. The hardest one to get ever was just a couple months ago. I did a cover of Stan Lee and Black Panther, and it was available only in Dubai. Just to give you an idea of the difficulty in getting some of these variants.
Wait, that was only available in Dubai? I thought that was a store variant.
No, that was I think it was a Stan Lee collectibles variant, which I guess technically is a store variant. But they had them available at Dubai, and I'm going to assume they had a sellout over there.
Yeah, and again, you'd also, this year, it's the Robin Hood variant that you did. You have two versions. You have the full color and the naughty sketch fade.
It's only naughty according to who's looking at it. It's all relative. To me, it's not naughty at all.
No. Well, it is covered up with apples.
But that was on your insistence. Not mine.
All right. So, you got anything coming out, any covers or anything coming out you want people to look for coming up?
Yes, I will be working on a Venom number one cover. It's going to be a store variant. That one you'll be able to order online, so that's not going to be that crazy to get it. And it is going to be a remake of a classic Spider-Man cover. So I'm really excited about that because I really go for that kind of nod to the past, you know, doing new versions of Silver Age covers, Bronze Age covers. It's a blast.
And where is the best place for your fans to find you online?
The best place to follow me is on Facebook, because when I post my art there, I am able to go back and forth with people and comment on things. I do a double post on Twitter, but it's just really difficult to have a conversation there. So I suggest Facebook for everyone. And it is Greg Horn Art, and it is now verified, so just look for the check mark.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome, Dave. Anytime. Get the hell out of here. Oh, no, you're staying.
Hot mic, hot mic. And Fiend.
Always plugging his stuff. Always selling himself.
Yeah, but again, every time I went by, he had two booths, one on the floor and one in Artist Alley. And the one on the floor was always one or two deep. And the one on Artist Alley was, you know, I think it averaged two people deep from trying to, you could literally couldn't get to the booth itself because there were so many people around it every time I went by, just every time. So he his art is still selling and people love it.
He makes enough to cover his expenses.
Yeah, you being an expense.
I am an expense. I'm a very expensive date. Anyone will tell you that. I don't work for free. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
There you go, boys and girls. That is our New York Comic Con coverage.
Our intro to the Comic Con coverage.
Because keep your eyes on our feed. We are going to be releasing probably 2 interviews a day until we get through all of them. And yeah, just keep an eye out for those. There's a lot of good ones. Who are some of the ones? Let's give them a preview of what to look up forward to.
Well, we've got Sarah Remy. Let's see. We've got an interview with the voice actors of Ruby, the voice actor for Yang and the voice actor for Ruby herself.
Uh-huh.
That's Lindsay Jones and Barbara Dunkelman. And let me tell you, Barbara Dunkelman, I don't ever play Cards Against Humanity with her. Holy crud. She's just evil. Then we have, let me give you another one here. Let's see, Nicoline Evans. Oh, Jerome St. John Blake, who basically was in every costume you saw in, let's see, we had, Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, Fifth Element, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's like a professional costumed player. He's the real deal. This guy was in some of the scenes for the Congress or the Senate in Star Wars 1, 2, and 3. And he's been in costumes that you know. When you see the picture, you'll know, oh, yeah, it's Star Wars. And that was him. He was in the big mechanical aliens in the beginning of Fifth Element, too.
Yes.
So he's been around. Boy, does that guy have stories. We're going to try to get him on for an hour interview because his, I think, is the longest floor interview that I got. And he talks a little bit slow, but he's got stories. I was listening to his stories while I was sitting next to him waiting for the real interview. And he's talking about some of his co-stars and all that. It's just fun stories about behind the scenes stuff that I'm sure very few people know about. So we'll try to get him on, but wait until you hear the interview that I've got on the floor from him.
Plus, we got the guys from Blue Juice Comics. And then
Zenoscope.
Then Zenoscope, finally, after 2 years, we got Ralph One. So yeah, look forward, like, and many more boys and girls. So definitely keep your eyes open to our feed on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you download our show. And until then, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.